Good afternoon. While following the earthquake in Haiti, President Obama directed government agencies to do what they can help with the reconstruction effort. And in the USDA and NRCS, Soil Science Division, we decided that helping them do the fundamental work in soil survey would help them manage their soils more efficiently. As you can see, it was a whole division effort, so I only just want you to have an appreciation of how many people were out there working. So the objective was to build capacity within the Haiti Ministry of Agriculture to provide leadership and partnerships to conduct soil survey and develop soil information systems and make these tools available to the population. So it involved contacting people and finding out what their needs were, the minister, leaders in the ministry. So when we met these folks, we had to find out what their priorities were. And the minister told us the priority was to produce enough food to meet Haiti's food security needs, reduce soil erosion, protect natural resources for generations to come, as well as reduce urban and rural unemployment. And most importantly, to improve the foreign exchange. So we tried to figure out who were our potential partners. It ranged from all the different ministries listed there and some organizations like SEAD is the committee for, it's a committee of all the ministries that that control the national territory. CNGS is a geospatial center. And then we had some universities, of course, the funding agency USAID and the FAS that guides the develop or the administration of international projects for NRCS. So we held a stakeholders meeting to conduct a needs assessment, find out what are your needs, what are the national resource concerns, what do you really want to do. They had a whole list of things, you know, some of which were very directly related to what we do, others that were not. Next, we asked them what were the natural resource concerns. Of course, salinity, they range from salinity to deforestation. And talking about deforestation, if you look at the map out there, you see the Dominican Republic compared to Haiti, know that most of the forest is gone. So we have about less than 1.5 to 2% forest left, and this was in 1993. So imagine what is left now. So we had a lot of meetings, you know, with ministry officials, different, you know, stakeholders, people involved in development, to tell them, to try to market, you know, what soil survey can do and how it can help with development. One of the critical things was site selection. So we had to figure out where could we go and do some work and be able to head out anytime there was a crisis. So we picked a location in consultation with our partners. And this was in the cul-de-sac. You can see from the map with towards the ocean, you have the Port-au-Prince, and then we went towards, you know, the Dominican Republic, the road heading towards the Dominican Republic, and we selected an area. And we had planned to map about 75,000 hectares, but USAID said all they want is a proof of concept that we want you to map only 3,000 hectares. So we selected an area that went from the plains to the foot of the hills or the mountains. Some of the landscapes you see out there, you can see the bottom right where you have a competition between agricultural land on the plains and, you know, urbanization. Then we see some steep slopes and people are farming there because they have no other access to land. And some lush vegetation, but most of it is mostly calcareous material To convince the people about what we're actually going to do and what's going to take, we decided they should come visit the United States and see how we conduct soil surveys, what it's going to cost, so they can see it and therefore believe if they really want to undertake this activity at this time in their development, especially following the earthquake. So they came to spend some time in D.C., met with national leaders. Their team consisted of national leaders and various specialists and faculty members. We spent 3 days with them in D.C. and a week in Lincoln for the leaders, and also 2 weeks for the specialists to shadow what their counterparts in the U.S. do. So they had a field trip where they saw how, you know, you can use the Giddings node probe to sample very quickly rather than dig the soils by hand. So following the return to Haiti, we decided to conduct a soil survey training in Haiti for the specialists who are actually going to do the work. So head down there, and minister selected a team. We thought we were going to have about 10 people working, but we ended up having 36 as the minister ordered. And so that was a nightmare using the facilities we had prepared. So you can see we were quite crowded in that room, but everybody was happy to be there. Site preparation, logistics, procurement, transportation were challenges. In order to do this, you need some soil diplomacy. You need to talk to the ambassadors. You see the folks from the embassy and also folks from the ministry and what I call soil diplomacy to try to convince people that we are going to that land not to look for oil but to look for soil properties. So the training was accomplished, and even though we started about 36 people, we had about 30 to 20 who showed up on a regular basis, and those folks were trained on how to navigate, you know, to using the different equipment that we have, GPS units and all that, and go to the different sites. Before we went down there, we had developed, using our LiDAR and other resources we had gathered, we did a pre-map, and of course during training we took them to different sites to prepare them for the field campaign. So after their training, they had an award ceremony. You can see the Minister of Agriculture all excited and trying to pump up the population. And to do our work, we conducted a preliminary soil map based on terrain attributes and using two approaches, of course, using digital soil mapping as well as traditional methods. And so we developed a sampling campaign, and we used one of our experts at NRCS, Tom DeVello. He generated about 150 sampling points, and based on the following criteria, we grouped the guys together in about three groups, and you can see, and deployed them to those groups after training. So each group was accompanied by NRCS experts. Instead of sampling all the 150 sites, we sampled 92 sites, and we selected 13 pedons for full characterization. You can see the garden in the field, the sampling, that is what the landscape looks like. Some of those areas, sometimes they would bring some of their own techniques and look at, they used a stick out there to mark the different depths, and that was quite exciting. So we had experts helping them with clod, you know, collections for bulk density analysis, and these samples were shipped to Lincoln for characterization. The deliverables for this project included, well, maps, block diagrams, profile descriptions, and the chemical analysis, some engineering properties. We had web soil survey for them, soil web, where they could use their cell phone to figure out what kind of soil they had under their feet in areas that had been mapped. And we trained over 100 people during that short period and different skills that support soil mapping. And of course, they did have an intensive training on soil, on Russell too, as other interpretations. So some of the deliverables, I mentioned this earlier, but that's what they look like. The soil web to the extreme right, the detail map in the middle, and then the manuscript that's prepared, a web soil survey. You could click Haiti and find out what that looks like. We're very proud to share this with the partners, the ministry, and USAID. So in that small 3,000-hectare area, we found out they had about three soil orders. We had 10 major components, and that was quite interesting because they had been told that in the entire country they have only four soil orders. So if they could find three soil orders in this small area, there's more to be found across the rest of the landscape. Some of the description, the taxonomic classification is listed out there. I'm not going to bother you with that. But we had some block diagrams to show exactly what the underlying material looks like at different locations. Here are some landscape positions and also different profiles that we encountered. Some more detailed view of what we encountered for the different soil types. And That is a repeat, I guess. Those are various landscapes and the different soil types. So quite steep slopes. So this area, rainfall range from about 400 to about 2,000 millimeters, depending on which side of the mountain you are. In terms of organic matter, you can see we looked at two things here, organic matter and available water, and you can see the distribution out there. Organic matter was quite high on disturbed surfaces on the mountains, which is quite interesting. But my earlier speaker mentioned there was a lot of erosion from the top, from the hilltops to the plain. So that was quite a problem. So the pattern for available water is also shown to the extreme right. So you look at the sequence out there. We move from the top, from the foot slope down to the plains, and you can see the different soil types and the landscapes that are below, the landscape that are above those soil types. So in summary, we found out about approximately 60% of the area was dominated by floodplains, while the foothills had about, well, alluvial fans made up of about 40%. Dominant parent material were marine sediments, lime, overlain by limestone, bedrock. And we had about 10 major soil types, and if you saw from the pictures, those soils were different based on their landscape position, despite the very small area. Now, in Haiti, they have one fertilizer recommendation for the entire country, 12-12-20. We found out that potassium, the soils tested mostly high in potassium, more than about 500 pounds of potassium. Now, if that's the case, are we wasting our money? If every farmer applied maximum rate for growing corn, for example, and we have 1 million farmers, it was estimated that we'd be spending about $70 million of wasted investment on potassium because the soils, they didn't know what soils they had. So knowing your soils, it's really critical. So the ministry is planning to move forward with mapping the entire country, especially the fertile alluvial plains. Thank you very much.
Questions, sir?
Dr. Omey, before I
Charles.
Ask my question, I would really like to commend you on successfully implementing what we take for granted here, which is the concept, the acceptance, and the implementation of a functional soil survey. I made my first map in 1979 on a black and white aerial photo and piloted three private corporate programs summing to almost 1 million acres. So I really want to give you kudos for bringing this fundamental value to where it's needed most. My question is, if the user, the ultimate user of soil survey information in Haiti is the subsistence farmer with a small plot of land whose area might be below the resolution of their survey.
Right.
After all this, can you surmise or hypothesize on what key variables on a small plot of land might be the best indicators of land productivity for either just subsistence, annual crops, or grazing? Could you use this survey to go to a piece of land and do a quick, simple assessment to refine that prescription fertilizer?
That's a very interesting question. See, unlike here where you have large farms and where 1 to 24,000 scale map is pretty useful. In Haiti, the map, the farms are about maybe 1 hectare, 2 hectares, and they continue to split them in the family by generation. So this type of map doesn't really help them in terms of managing their land. It's a proof of concept, but it could help them with interpretations like where do you build basements, because following the hurricane and other disasters we've had out there, the fact that they don't have any source information, there's some very provocative slides I could put up there, but I don't want to do that, where the U.S. embassy is built on a floodplain. So when it rains, you have bags of sand laid around to protect the embassy. If somebody had talked to a soil scientist, that multi-million dollar mistake should have been avoided. So this was a proof of concept. Even the area alone, people said, why do you spend so much money, you know, only on 3,000 hectares? But USAID wanted a proof of concept. If the people buy it, they can look for other sources to fund it. So that was a very good question. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.